And the message today is continuing where we have been going on faith. And we've been talking about faith. We started off a few weeks back and talked about having faith that imitates others and how that is actually very, very dangerous. And that faith that is just an imitation, more or less, is not real faith. Okay, so imitating somebody, that doesn't cut it. That will not produce results. That is called being an actor or an actress. And we are not supposed to do that. Then we went on last week and we talked about having faith that is really presumption. And how many of y'all have read that book, Faith, Foolishness, or Presumption? Anybody? Fred Price wrote that book years ago. It was one of our books in Bible school, and just going to go like that with it so I don't trip. One of the books we had in Bible school, it talked about whether you are walking in faith, if you were being just plain old stupid, that's foolishness, or presumption, meaning arrogantly saying you're going after this or you're believing this and you don't have the faith to really do that. Now, presumption translates this way, the definition of the word meant to be proud or insolent or to be swelled or lifted up. Now, we found in a few places in the Word how Israel was just that way. God had told them you're, through the man Moses that, no, you're not going into that area now. And then as soon as he said you're not going to do it, they said, we repent, we're going to go do it. And we found that it sounded like they were walking in faith, but in fact, they were being puffed up, insolent, swelled up, arrogant, and they weren't walking in faith at all. In fact, where they tried to go into this land that Moses said, you're not going to, the Lord saying, you shouldn't do it, then they ended up being defeated. These were the people of Israel, when the 12 spies went into the land to spy it out, and if you'll recall, of those 12, two came back with a good report, Caleb and Joshua, and the other 10 mocked the land and said it's a land that eats up the people, that the inhabitants thereof, they're giants in that land, the sons of Anak are there. They'll eat us. They'll kill us. They'll destroy us. So they came back with this report of doubt, and that spread throughout the camp. So there were two that said, we can do it, and there were the 10 that said, we can't. God didn't ask them to go in there and then come back and cast their vote. Isn't that right? He didn't say, okay, I'm going to send you 12 into this land. He sent them in there to spy it out so they would know what entry point they ought to go in and bring back the report to the people. He didn't say, I'm sending you. They took it on themselves. He didn't say, I'm sending you in there tonight. You tell me whether we ought to do this thing or not. Did he? Yeah. So when they came back with an evil report of doubt, the 10, God called it evil. They were this stiff-necked people, and the majority ruled. There were two that said, we're well able to take the land. Let's go up and possess it. Now, if you recall at the end of the story, those two ended up being able to go in. The 10 and their families and the generation that fell in line with the 10 never did get to go into the promised land. We cited to you that Moses got upset with them and struck the rock and ended up not going in either. He got to see it, but that generation... Man, I mean, could you imagine having all these people and they're nothing but a bunch of complainers? You ever have a class of complainers? You ever have that? You know what? And you're talking maybe 25, 30 kids. How about 2-3 million? Oh, I mean, strike the rock. You'd want to turn around and start picking up rocks and throwing them at them. You know, I mean, you got to be surprised that he just struck the rock and didn't look for rocks to throw. Anyway, Moses did disobey God. And took it upon himself. And so I can see, you disobey God, that's the That's the end result of disobeying God. Some think, well, that's not fair. Hey, wait a minute. Disobedience is disobedience, whether it's by a really nice guy or a smart aleck. Okay? Disobedience is disobedience. And that's the way the Lord views that. Well, the children of Israel, the Lord said, I'll not be with you. You go over here. You're not going where I initially told you to go. You bucked at that. You said no. You came up with every reason in the world not to do it. And they said, oh, we've sinned. We repent. Now we're going to go. He said, no, you're not. That was presumption for them to say, we're going to go. You cannot ask for the blessing of the Lord upon something the Lord told you not to do. So Romans chapter 3, this is where we have used our foundation has come out of this. Romans 3, verse number 3. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? And we basically have said, if some didn't believe, well, let's just realize there are always going to be people that don't believe. There are always going to be people that have some reason or another to not believe. They'll come up with excuses and all that. Jesus had people that didn't believe what he said. Paul had it. Peter had it. I mean, I'll put myself right in that same list of ministers. I've spoken the word and people haven't believed it. We don't need that. That word of faith, I know all that already. I've had people tell me that. I've heard all that already. Oh, really? 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 You've heard it all. You've heard it all. My next question is, why aren't you doing it? Oh, but you've heard it all. Listen, I've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. How many times I've read it through? Do I never pick it up again? You know, there are some books that you gladly don't pick up again once you get through with the assignment. You know what I'm saying? Grapes of Wrath. Well, you know, I mean, to each his own, but I'm sorry, Sarah, but Of Mice and Men. You know, those things like that. Yeah, I know. Well, go ahead. You can read them again for me if you like. You just feel free, you know. What was the other one? A Farewell to Arms. Ay, 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 ay. That was a sequel to Jaws. Amen. Anyway, but those are books you know, to me, I mean, I read the thing. Actually, I did the Cliff Notes on them. And I can confess now, that was in 1978, okay? All right, yeah. So, what if some didn't believe? Well, that's going to happen. But I've read the Bible. And yet I keep going back to it again. I keep going back to it again. This is not a one-time read. This is not a, I read that, I heard that, I'm going on from that. You need to be picking this thing up every day of the week, every day of your life, getting some word every day. Don't wait till Sundays or Wednesdays. Don't wait till then. You need it every single day. You know, it's amazing. Troubles don't wait until Sundays and Wednesdays. Well, amen, Pastor Dan, that's right. So, what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? One version says useless. Well, that's ridiculous. Don't even think that. God forbid, verse 4, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Well, here, look. Just because somebody doesn't believe, that doesn't mean the faith of God is not going to be with effect. The faith of God works. Real faith works. It's when somebody walks in one of these that too, like we just talked about, imitation faith, the sons of Siva in the book of Acts, the seven sons of Siva. You remember that? They tried to cast out a demon out of a guy in the name of Jesus who Paul preaches. Jesus, we know, the demon said through the man. Paul, we know of him, but you. Who are you? And the Spirit turned on those seven guys, this one that had the Spirit in him, and ripped them up. Tore the clothing off of seven guys. Just shredded them. And they ran out naked, afraid, and you might as well just add in there, they were screaming bloody murder. Can you imagine? I mean, they were screaming. Screaming. Jesus said that you say to me, the Pharisees say, they said, you cast out demons by Beelzebul. Jesus said, if you think I'm casting them out by the devil, and when Jesus cast out devils, they left. Amen? Then he turns and he said, most scholars believe Siva was in that audience. Then by whom do your sons cast him out? Write this down if you're taking notes. The seven sons of Siva were exorcists. Pharmakai is the Greek word. And they used incantations to try to cast out demons. Incantations. Spells. They tried, this is a classic, the devil trying to cast the devil out. Jesus said Satan can't cast Satan out. It's in Matthew chapter 12. Satan can't cast Satan out. No. Takes one who's stronger than him coming on the scene. See, a house divided against itself will fall. That's what Jesus was making that point. But the fact of the matter is, when these seven sons of Siva came up and tried to use incantations, devilish, demonic ways and means to cast the devil out, this guy didn't respond to that. He just ripped the tar out of him. And if somebody looked at that and said, see, that casting out devils doesn't work, look at that instance. Look at that incident. They were trying to mimic Jesus, mimic Paul, imitate him, copy him. And there is just absolutely no way that that will work. That's not real faith. Just because somebody didn't believe, does that mean real faith doesn't work? That's what verse 3 is saying. Will the faith of God be without effect? Well, no, of course not. If you do things right, if you do it according to the word, faith works. Okay? It didn't work for the children of Israel. They lost every time they tried to step out and do something that God had said, don't do it. They did it anyway. That was presumption. And it produced a bad effect as well. Now, go over to 1 Timothy chapter 1 quickly. And I promise I won't keep you long today. But you did come for the word. Amen? It's amazing, amazing to me. You know, you have service time and you come to hear the word, and that's like, when are we getting out of here? When are we getting out of here? You know what? We should have a nice velvet-lined box out there, and everybody takes their watches off. Except me. I like to have mine on, actually. I'm teasing, but the fact is, don't be so concerned about when we're getting out of here. What you should be concerned about is, what am I going to get here? What am I going to get here? Because something that you're going to hear today is going to be very, very vital in your week coming up. Can I hear an amen? 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse number 4. We use this again. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions, rather than godly edifying, which is in faith, so do. So everything we do, we're supposed to be doing in faith. Now, verse 5 says, now the end of the commandment is love, charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned. And the reason I brought that out is because the word unfeigned means not phony. In other words, real. Faith unfeigned is faith that is not phony, or faith that is genuine. So if you'll read that, you'll find that if it's talking about a faith that is genuine, you have to know there is a faith that is not genuine. There is a fake faith, a phony faith, a feigned faith, if you will. Fake faith. Imitating somebody is fake faith. You're just a parrot. If you are walking in this insolence, a swelled head, I'm going to do it. I'm going to show everybody that I'm walking in faith. You are in presumption, and that doesn't work either. Those are two forms of phony faith. But is the fact that there are phony people running around and walking in phony faith mean that the faith of God doesn't work when it's applied properly? When faith is applied properly, things change. Mountains move. Lives are affected, touched, and changed. Can I hear an amen? Amen. It is the truth. Look at verse 6. Which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. We see that today. There are some people that used to preach faith, preach the word, and when they didn't see the results happen, they quit doing it. That doesn't work. What they're saying is exactly what Romans 3 verse 4 said, or verse 3, that faith, it's of no effect. They didn't believe. The people didn't believe it. I'm not going to preach it. One of the things that ministers do is we preach in order for faith to come up in the people. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. Now, if you want to grow in faith, you got to hear the word. Amen? In fact, go to Romans 10. Romans 10. I'm going to show you something in these portions in this portion of Scripture in the next few minutes that guaranteed to bless you. Roll your socks up and down. Get ready for those socks to roll up and down. Hallelujah. Some of you don't have socks on, I see. You need a battery-operated pair, John. That would be great. Hit a little button. Look at this, Pastor Dan. Yeah. Come on, you've got the electronic know-how. Do it. All right. Well, they're doing shades that go up and down now, you know. Anyway, okay. I got to look there like, you better get on with it. Okay, yeah. Romans 10. Listen, if you can't have a little bit of fun in church service, you are sucking on pickle juice. That's religion, man. That's religion. You hear me? That's religion. That's religious. Oh, see, that gives me an excuse not to listen tomorrow. Because he did that on Sunday, and blah, blah, blah. See, he's not serious enough. Listen, I'm the most serious one in here today. And I say that, I'm not afraid to say it. I've dedicated my life to preaching this gospel. But I also know that it's not a sprint, but a marathon. And if you can't enjoy the walk, you're going to get tired of it and start doing carnal things again. That's why this man is not running into the bars. This man's not sleeping around on his wife. This man doesn't use foul language. This man doesn't suck on alcohol when he's not here. This man's been married to this woman for a while. Because I've learned it is not a sprint. It is a marathon, and you must enjoy the journey. Can I hear an amen? And that goes for ministry as well. Okay. Let's get serious. Romans 10. Look at verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Let me ask you this question. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, go back to verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How? Well, they can't, can they? Look at it. How can you call on him if you've not believed on him? You can't. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? What's the answer? They can't. How shall they hear without a preacher? The same answer. They can't. Now somebody say, all I need is my Bible, me and Jesus. I don't need to go to church. I just sit there and read it on my own and I'll figure it out myself. You are coming against what God has ordained for your life. Like it or not, God has placed people like me in positions to teach the Word of God because that's His methodology. He has set some in the body. And he set these five in particular that get up in front of people and minister the word. That's how you're going to hear it. I can read it on my own. And you know how many people end up really messed up reading it on their own and not listening to somebody who's anointed to teach it? Say amen anyway. And I don't say that arrogantly. I say it with all the confidence in Him, not in me. All the confidence in Him. Because I know me. And without Him, I'm nothing. Without Him, I can do nothing. Without Him instructing me and opening the Word to me and giving me the revelation, it's not going to be anointed to minister to you. There's a difference between preaching that is anointed and preaching that is just dry and stale. So here, you can't hear without a preacher. You say, no, you mean I can't read the Word on my own and study it? No, you're supposed to study to show yourself approved. You are supposed to do some of that on your own, yes. But bless the Lord God Almighty, you need to be in church hearing the Word. How shall they preach except they be sent? And he goes on and he talks about how somebody can preach except they are sent. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Now, you write these things down. And I brought a little bit of this up yesterday at the men's meeting in one of the moments where I shared something. You cannot believe what you haven't heard. You cannot believe what you haven't heard. Title of the message today is No Foundation, by the way. I'm sorry, I should have given that to you a long time ago. You cannot believe what you haven't heard. And you can't hear what you need to hear without a preacher. And as I said, God has ordained it. That's the way that you are to be taught. One of the men at the meeting yesterday brought up the fact that we get things from different parts of the body, don't we? 1 Corinthians 12 brings that out. If we get to that place where we think, I don't need any of those folk, I don't need to hear it from a preacher, it's just me and Jesus and my Bible and I'll do it, and I've even got a Strong's Concordance and I'll figure this whole thing out. Let me tell you something. That's like the hand saying to the foot, I have no need of you. Or the eye saying to the leg, I don't have need of you. Does the eye smell? No. Do you see with your fingers? What are you doing on there? Do you talk with your feet? There's a part of the body that is useful for all those things. And we must allow those parts to function. And the teacher, which, by the way, the pastor better be a teacher. Pastor better be a teacher. There are too many pastors that are really called to be exhorters. And they get up and they scream and they spit and they blow like a windmill. Ah! Spraying and arms flailing and people getting all excited. And everyone goes out there and says, what'd you learn? Nothing. I don't know. What'd we learn? There needs to be some excitement. So you don't drift off. Some of you drift off anyway. Sleep longer on Sundays. Don't get up at 5 o'clock. Amen, Pastor Dan. But I'm serious, because by the time 10 o'clock rolls around, 11 o'clock rolls around, you're ready for a nap. What did you eat this morning? Absolutely nothing. Hallelujah. That's not true. I had a power bar. But the fact of the matter is, when you come in, you need to hear, because this day, what's being taught may be exactly what you need to bump you over the top. Amen. So here's the thing about that. God uses body parts to minister to the body. The teacher, you know, they always list the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Somebody said, well, the teacher's the littlest finger, and the littlest finger goes in the ear the easiest. Well, that's fine. I mean, whatever. Have you ever heard that? Well, you did now. The evangelist is the longest finger, and I'm not going to show you that one. But anyway, it's the longest, so it reaches the furthest. This is some stupid stuff, actually, if you really want to know the truth. People make up all sorts of, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. The pastor marries people. Apostle, prophet, the prophet points and says you're in sin. What about that old apostle here? He's the one that, I'll say, well, the first one is the most important one. That's not true either. But they say, without it, none of the others work. You try to pick something up without your thumb, it's a hard thing to do. That's weak, but we're not going to do that as an illustration either, by the way. You just got it right there, yeah. But see, the different body parts, the different ministry gifts are important. Now, here's something that you need to consider, that if we bring in another member of the body who functions in one of those roles, the evangelist, the prophet, a teacher, maybe another pastor would come in. How about an apostle? Terry Mize is an apostle. We call them missionaries, but an apostle is one who was sent out to establish or make a proclamation and establish that message in a place. That's what missionaries do. That function of apostle came out of the synagogue, the shelachim. And they were ones who were sent out to announce a message. Anyway, what if we bring somebody in and we make all the preparation and we set up the meeting and all that and we set up the time and they're going to be here for a couple services or whatever, and we do it and go to great lengths to bring somebody here, praying about it, and you hear about it, and you're part of this church, and you know that they're coming, and they're going to have a word, and you go, I don't need to hear that today. I'm going to go do thus and such instead. Guess what? And I thoroughly believe this. When you're a committed member of a church body and the Lord lays it upon the hearts of the leadership to bring somebody in with a message that is potentially life-changing, another part of the body is coming. How can they hear without a preacher? Well, we have you. Yeah, but I'm not the one doing it that day. It's somebody else. And they go, I'm going to go golf. I want to go on the lake. This is the only time I can go fishing, for crying out loud. I need to mow my yard, don't you know? During the service time? During the time when church is going on? During the time... Oh, careful. I thoroughly believe this with all of my heart, that a person that knows... Now, there are sometimes genuine reasons why somebody can't be there. I understand that. Then you can always get the CD or go online and listen to the message, okay? But if you make a choice to do something else when you should be hearing the word, guess what? You're going to be held accountable for everything that came forth in that service. Yeah, and I'm not looking away. I believe that thoroughly. You will be held, the Lord will say, I provided the answer. You snubbed your nose at it. How can faith come when you turn your nose up at what I've offered for you? Yeah, but I don't like them. Well, get over it. Has the Lord ever had you sit and listen? He had me do it last week. He said, I want you to go online. I want you to listen to this preacher. I don't want to listen to him. He's a numbskull. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I listened to the message. Do you know that that man preached some of the same stuff I preached last week? And I said, Father, forgive me. He's not of the same persuasion. Forgive me. Forgive me for judging your servant, calling him a numbskull. That'll jerk the slack out of you in a hurry. He wanted me to hear that. He wanted me to change my opinion of somebody that I had formed an opinion about. You do that, Pastor Dan? Last time I looked, I'm just like you. You guys are quiet this morning. That's okay. I can get more done when you're quiet. Now, here's where I want to get you to. Look at verse 15 again. How shall they preach except they be sent, as it is written? How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Well, there you go. They're not all going to obey. They're not all going to obey to go and hear the preaching. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they hear when they're on their boat when they ought to be in church? How can they hear when they're mowing their lawn when they should be in service worshiping God? The message is there. That's why I say you'll be responsible for it. And God's going to say, I provided it. You turned your nose up at it. I'm holding you responsible. To whom much is given, much is required. Just because you decided not to show up, that's not right. This is all in context leading to verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Here's an interesting little twist on that verse. I looked in the RSV, the Amplified, the Phillips translation, and the Goodspeed. Edgar Goodspeed is a scholar who did a translation years ago. The Goodspeed translation. And those four in particular, and there were others, but those four, I wrote them down, bring out the fact that God and hearing by the word of God is actually hearing the word of Christ, or the message of Christ, or the message of the anointing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word anointed. The word anointed. Here's the bottom line to all of this. Faith in God is based on hearing from Him. You cannot have faith any other way. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We said no foundation today was the title. The substance. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance is a Greek word that means that which stands under, or a setting under, a foundation. You could say it's the confidence, that which I stand on. Faith is the substance. It's undergirds things. If you don't have a foundation for your faith, it won't work. Let me just pose this to you and then we'll close. If you are going to have faith in something I say to you, I have to give you something for you to place your faith in. Fair enough? If I said, and I used this yesterday, but I'll use it again. If I say I have a roll of $100 bills in my pocket, I have 25 of them, and I'm going to give to you that are in this place. Now, there's more than 25 of us here. But if I said I'm going to give 25 people in this place $100 each, can you have faith to receive it? Careful. I'm going to give 25 of you $100 each. Can you have faith to receive it from me? And I'll just cut to the chase. No, you cannot. I didn't tell you I was going to give it to you, Sarah. I didn't tell you, Jim, I was going to give it to you. I did not say, Terry, I'm giving you $100. I said, I'm going to give 25 of you $100. Now, what if I said I have a pocket with a big roll of $100 bills in it, and this is all just make-believe, just so you know, I'm not... Just don't come up to me after the service. I'll take my 100. And I said this. I'm supposed to give whosoever will in this place a $100 bill today. Whosoever will what? Will come and receive it. Now, how many of you could have faith to receive that? Now you can. If I said, John, I'm going to give you $100, see me after the service. And he comes up and says, where's that $100 you promised? Well, I can't turn and say to him, what $100? I didn't say I'd give you $100. God's not a man that he should lie. That would make me a liar if I said that, right? But if I told him that, and he knows I'm a guy after my own word, I'm going to honor my word, then he can come up to me and basically say, you know, he can count on it, he's got $100. If you haven't heard it from the person, you can't have faith to receive it from the person. When you write that down, put person with a capital P, because God is the one that you need to hear it from regarding your own needs in this life. If you have not heard, see, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. How many of y'all know that the Greek word there is rhema? And hearing by the word that is anointed, the rhema word that is anointed. I'll tell you, when you know that the Lord has something for you, and he has spoken it to you, and he can tell you, and you know in your heart, you've meditated it, and you know because you know that this is for you, oh my goodness sakes, you can have faith to receive. Here's the problem. Most people don't take the time to get in and listen to him. How about talking to him more than just once in a while? How about getting to know him? How about getting to know his voice so the voice of a stranger you're not going to follow after? How about spending time with him so that he can reveal to you the key to you getting your healing? The key to what it is in your life that you have need of. You've been believing. You say you're believing. I'm claiming this. I'm believing this. Believe with me for this. And you don't have any more a word from God regarding it. That's phony faith. That's imitation faith. That will not work. Now, does that mean that real faith doesn't work? Absolutely not. But when you hear from God, oh my goodness, it's a whole different story. I heard from the Lord. And I'm supposed to do thus and such. And he has made this promise. Now you can have faith. You heard from him. Yeah, but how do you hear from God like that? Well, first off, you turn the TV off. And you get into the word more. You get in time where you give him some chance to talk to you. You spend some quality time with God. People don't spend quality time with God today. Paul's got a reason to do something else. And, oh, pastor will understand. Don't look for me for making your excuse all right. If you really want to know the truth of it, pastor doesn't understand. I still ask you, pastor, what did you eat today? Or what did you drink this morning? You seem a little fired up. Pastor doesn't understand when excuses are levied time and again to not get in the word. You're telling the wrong guy. Tell it to somebody that thinks like you do. Don't tell it to me, because I don't think like that. I'm going to be polite to you. Oh, well, you know. And I'm thinking, oh, well, you're probably going to miss something you need. But don't tell me. I love you. But excuses are like armpits. You ever hear that one? Everybody has two of them, and they normally stink. Don't make excuses for not doing the Word of God in your life. You can get mad at me all you want. I don't care. I really am to the point in my walk with the Lord as a minister of the gospel that, you know what? Life is too short to sit around trying to patty cake around people's feelings, because people's feelings always tend to the flesh. And if I let that be a dictator to me, I won't tell you anything that you really need to hear. That's like a parent saying, I want to be your friend. What do you think about this? You don't ask your child what they think. You tell them what they're going to do. Now they get to a point where they turn adult and all that, and now you treat them as an adult. But up to that time, you don't have a vote.
Well, that's kind of harsh, Pastor Dan.
Hey, look. You are called to raise that child. Please stand to your feet. You're called to raise that child and do it in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and with the love of Jesus. I understand that. You need to do it in love, but let it be understood who's the boss. This approach to child rearing these days is so unscriptural, it isn't funny. Well, what do you think? What do you think? You don't ask a little kid what they think. They'll want bubble gum for dinner. Well, what do you think? I just don't know any other way to put that. What do you think? Let's say, no, here, we're going here. I love you, but here's what. I don't want to go. You're going anyway. Amen. That's kind of funny, isn't it? You're going anyway. You can, amen, sister. You can go the easy way or the hard way. What are you doing? They say, I'm not going to school today. Oh, fine. Go back to bed and I'll bring you breakfast in bed. How many of you kids ever tried that? How many of you adults ever tried that, huh? I remember the time where I'm not going to school today. We're laying in bed, and so mom would all say, boys, boys. Make some groaning, and the door was shut, and so she had to come up the stairs, you know. She comes up there, and I've been rubbing my forehead hard. I'm trying to get that joker heated up, man. Feel me, I think I have a fever. She goes, well, you rubbed pretty hard, but no, it's not a fever. Gee willikers, man. She never asked me if I wanted to go or not. One day I got to school. I did it on purpose. In high school, I looked at the key thing where I had to grab my locker key, looked at it. You're staying there today. So I walked out the door without my locker key. I get to school. I walk all the way to school. Get to school. Got my books. Forgot my locker key. Turned around, walked out, so because I had a test that first hour. I wasn't saved, so I don't advise you young people to do this, okay? I got home. She said, what are you doing here? I forgot my locker key. Well, go on. I was like, I can't go back now. I'll have to wait until noon to go. She said, you're going. I had to go back and take that stinking test. I'll tell you what, and it cost me all that walking. My goodness sakes. My mom had no mercy on me, so I turned out all right, though, I think. So, all right, let's bow our heads, go before the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you and praise you today for your word in our lives. Father, we want to hear from you. We want to hear your spoken word in our lives and give us scripture to stand on and have it revealed to us, Lord God, how we should put our faith out, what we should put our faith out for, and not just try to imitate someone else's faith. Try to imitate what somebody else has heard from you. No, we need to hear from you so we can have faith in you. And I thank you, and I praise you for that even this day. And I give you glory, Lord God, for the miraculous transformation that's happening in our lives even this day. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. We give you glory for that and thanksgiving and praise. In Jesus' name, come on, can you say amen? Amen, amen. How many